This is Stephanie Rubel from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome you to our fourth book of the 2013-2014 Book Salon season, The Bluest Eye. This month, I'm delighted to introduce our host, Professor Peggy Phelan. Peggy is the Anne O'Day Maples Professor in the Arts and the Professor of Theater and Performance Studies and English. She started her career at Stanford in 2003 and joined the English department in 2006. Professor Phelan's work reflects her broad-ranging and passionate interests in contemporary theater, art, photography, literature, dance, and film. She's the author of Unmarked, The Politics of Performance, and Morning Sex, Performing Public Memories, which received an honorable mention Callaway Prize for Dramatic Criticism. And she has written more than 60 articles and essays in scholarly, artistic, and commercial magazines ranging from art form to science. Peggy, thanks so much for kicking off this month's discussion.
Hi, Stephanie. It's great to be here. Thank you for that introduction.
Oh, of course. So, first of all, can you talk to us about what The Bluest Eye means to you and why you chose it?
Well, I chose it because I'm really interested in how does a young writer become a great writer. And The Bluest Eye is Toni Morrison's first novel, and it is not perfect. And she herself talks about the thing she was unable to fix at the time because it was her very first attempt to write a novel. And I'm also interested in it because, as you know, I teach undergraduates, and it emerged from a short story she had written when she was an undergraduate at Howard University, which is one of the historically black colleges in right outside Washington, D.C. And when she was an undergraduate, she loved writing, but she didn't think there was much of a future in it, as is the case with far too many of our contemporary Stanford students. So she actually took it out after she was at a crossroads in her own life. She had recently become divorced. She was the mother of two young boys. And she was working at Random House in publishing, but she had not herself written anything. So she went back to this story, which she was prompted to write when she was an undergraduate because it was one of the most searing memories she had as a girl. And it's based on an encounter she had with another African-American child who whispered to her that all she wanted in her whole life was blue eyes. And so I'm interested in the evolution from the moment that is derived from a personal experience into the text that moves from the phrase, I want blue eyes, to the novel, The Bluest Eye, which is singular. And I'm interested in what Morrison wanted to do and what she actually did. So her intention was to think about the voice she could not hear anywhere in American literature, which was the voice of the most vulnerable character she could think of, which was a young black girl. And so she told the story of Pecola Breedlove. But pretty quickly, she realized she couldn't tell it from or in the voice of Pecola. So I'm interested, and hopefully we can talk about this in February. I'm interested in Morrison's decision to add different narrative voices, and that's what I'll basically be concentrating on as we go through this novel. The other reason I picked it is I think some of the issues that Morrison was articulating then remain too much with us now.
Wonderful. That's so much to look forward to for our readers. Next question is, what issues from The Bluest Eye can you single out that our readers might find interesting to discuss?
Well, I won't be giving too much away because it's clear from the very first pages that this is a novel about a young girl who is the victim of incest and who becomes pregnant and loses the child. And as Morrison herself puts it, because the question of why is too big, she writes a novel about the how these events happened. And so I would say to anybody who's trying to decide if they should read this book, it's an incredible book, but it is very emotionally intense. So you got to give yourself a little space. you know, it's not a good thing to read it on pickup line if you're picking up your kids from school or anything. It's really, it will do a number on your head.
Next question. Will you talk to us about your favorite part of the book and why you chose it?
I'm not sure favorite is the word I would use, but I would say one of the most astounding aspects of the novel is Marcin's attempt, not fully 100% successful, but her attempt to go through the decisions and the causes of Pekola Breedlove's father's rape of Pekola Breedlove. So what happens is we hear the story of Charlie Breedlove from his point of view. It's not in his voice, but we hear his life story. And as we hear that, he becomes a much more complicated man. And one of the questions I think that's raised by this novel is how far do those complications take us in a moral question about how severely we judge him for what he did to his daughter, Pekola.
Wonderful. All right, and then last, my favorite question to find out on a personal basis. What are you currently reading?
Well, I'm currently reading like a mad person, an insane person. I'm reading everything I can find in the general area of narrative medicine because I am teaching in the winter quarter, a brand new course for me, and it's the first time at Stanford it's been taught. And I decided to teach it because I think it is one of the most interesting emerging fields in the humanities in general, and also because kind of willy-nilly, I've been positioned in the field not so much as a critic or a theorist, but because I had written an essay called To Suffer Sea Change, which is the story of my eye surgeries, and it was taken up by the field of narrative medicine. So I wrote it a long time ago in the early 90s, and since then I've kind of gone back to it quite often because I've been prompted by other scholars in the field to think through the narrative implications of the essay. So I'm reading the critical literature of narrative medicine, and it's quite fascinating, and I'm very excited to teach it because I've had quite a lot of correspondence from undergraduates about it, several of whom are pre-med, who desperately want to keep alive the question of the self and the subject within the discourse of medicine. So I'm really looking forward to it, and some of the authors that I've been reading or rereading include Oliver Sacks, and I'm going back to one of his first memoirs, which is called A Leg to Stand On, and it has a wonderful description of his fall down a mountain in which he broke his leg, and he had to get off the mountain. He was by himself, and then it goes through his recovery and the effect that trauma had on his own treatment. You know, he's a neurologist, as you probably know. So it's great, but it's a little bit frantic because we're just at the end of the quarter and I have to get my syllabus up. So
you have a lot on your plate.
Yeah,
right
I have
now.
A lot, yes. Mm-hmm.
But, wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I've taught the book before, but I haven't taught it in several years, and I'm really curious to hear the way it affects people because it is a very profound, book.
I'm looking forward to reading the discussion. Thank you so much for introducing us to the Bluest Eye.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.